Welcome in, everybody. LG, that's me. We are all the way live on this Thursday night. It is Morgan Sports Live coming at you from Towson. We are at Glory Days in Towson on Joppa Road. Morgan State University Sports is the mission. Be talking a little bit Morgan State University football. And later in the hour, going to talk a little Morgan State University softball. My name is LG, joined here at Glory Days by my partner in crime. His name is Renard Stubbs. Stubbs, we had a difficult trip last weekend down to Tallahassee, Florida. The Bears took on the Rattlers of Florida A&M. Didn't have the happy ending we had hoped when the Bears took on the Rattlers on Saturday. A Morgan State University team looking for that consistency element and didn't find it when we were on the road in Tally on Saturday afternoon.
Well, I tell you what, Lamont, I don't know if you believe in bad omens. It all started in the parking lot when our bus to go to the hotel broke down. Tough road trip for the Bears. I like to say this is where coaches earn their keep. When you got to get your team up, you don't have a whole lot of things to play for. This is where coaches earn the big bucks, LG.
Well, right now this is a Morgan State football team that still has some football left. And so that's reason enough to get up and make it happen. And first thing up will be this Saturday. The Bears will be on the home front taking on the Bethune-Cookman University Wildcats. And home has not been home sweet home for Morgan State so far this season. Still looking, Renard, for that first win on the home front.
I tell you, though, we've gotten so used to this team playing really competitive games, playing down to the end. We won a couple of them on the road. Unfortunately, we have not been able to win a home game so far this season. So that's one thing to look forward for on Saturday. We still haven't won a home game. We want to show the home crowd what the real Bears are all about.
Now let's get a jump started. Indeed, this Saturday the Bears will be on the home front. The opposition will be conference rival, the Bethune-Cookman University Wildcats, coming all the way from Daytona to Baltimore. That game's going to kick off at 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. Of course, we'll have it for you right here on Morgan State University Radio. Our coverage of the contest begins with the Morgan Game Day Experience. We kick that off at 3. And, again, game time between the Bears and the Wildcats will be on Saturday at 4 o'clock. We are joined here at Glory Days by the head man in charge of Morgan State University football in his first year as such. Ernest Jones is up in the building. Coach Jones, welcome aboard. We appreciate you joining us on this Thursday night.
Oh, Lamont, I'm glad to be here. Another exciting day and exciting time as we get ready to go face Bethune-Cookman.
That's indeed the next order of business, Coach, the Bethune-Cookman University Wildcats. But first, a visit to Tallahassee last weekend. The Bears unable to do what they have been doing pretty well, beating teams on the road in conference. Could not deliver that W against the Rattlers in Tallahassee. Congratulations to Florida A&M for what they did. But your assessment of what Morgan did, the orange and blue, on Saturday in Tallahassee.
I mean, first of all, Coach Simmons brought a great football team in there. We knew they were going to be well coached, a disciplined team. We showed some undisciplined with ourselves with all those penalties. I mean, we had over 14, 15 penalties as a football team. You just can't beat good football teams when you penalize yourself. And then we had turnovers out there. We put the football on the ground, turning the football over. Are we trying to go out there and compete in a football game? You just can't do those things. This is a good football team that we have, but we're not good enough to make those type of mistakes in regards to penalties and turnovers. And we gave up a bunch of big plays out there, you know, on offense, defense, and special teams.
It's uncharacteristic of an Ernest Jones team. You've been coaching teams that have battled and fought. And in that game against Florida A&M, they essentially had their thing go their way from beginning to end. Talk to me about how practice has gone throughout the course of the week, because the key is how this team responds to the adversity suffered in Tallahassee.
Yeah, Lamont, I thought we had a great week of practice. The kids came out there, inspired a bunch of energy. If you came and watched our team practice, you would know that this was a two-win football team. I mean, a lot of energy, a lot of competition, a lot of competitiveness. I mean, these guys believe in themselves. They know they're a good football team. One of the things we talked about this week in more detail is execution. And the kids began to repeat the word execution, execution, execution. We're just talking about using the fundamental skills and the fundamental techniques that the coaches are teaching them. And I think that they know that if they can go out there and use those fundamental skills, fundamental techniques, and execute, they'll be able to play with anybody. In particular, they can play with Bethune-Cookman.
Coach, back in the old days when I played ball in high school, we used to wear pride. We had T-shirts. We used Walbrook pride. How much does pride kick in at this part of the season. And also, you know, you have some coaches that will say, if we didn't have a good game, I'm going to throw this game tape away and just move forward. Or are you the type of coach? What type of approach would you take? Are you going to keep dissecting that film? You're going to just forget about what happened on Saturday?
Yeah, absolutely. When you're talking about a young team, a young program, we're trying to change the culture here. We're trying to teach these kids how to win, how to be successful on the football field and in life. So we want to watch that film. We want to watch that tape. We want to see what type of mistakes we made so that we don't make those mistakes again. But we believe in our players. We believe in our coaches. And we just want to continue to talk about who we are. A big thing for us turning this thing around is that we got to have an identity. And on offense, on defense, and on special teams, we got to be true to that identity. We got to believe in that identity. And we got to just continue to push in and fighting. And one of the things that I've been saying all year, I'll keep saying, is that we have a football team that will compete. And we have a football team that will compete for four quarters. Yep, we went down there at FAMU, and it looked like we weren't competing all the way for four quarters, but you have to go look into those young men's eyes coming to the locker room with them. They were competing. They were trying to win a football game, but Florida A&M was a good football team.
And then I will also add that FAMU only scored 7 points in the second half, so you made some adjustments and made some things happen in the second half.
Unfortunately, the Bears didn't get it done, but the next opportunity – just 48 hours away, Coach. Got the Wildcats coming up to town, a program that we've had some difficulty with over the past few years, whether we played them down on the beach or up here in Baltimore. How do you assess that Bethune-Cookman Wildcat team, and how do you size up our matchup against the Wildcats on Saturday?
I mean, you're talking about an explosive, athletic, fast football team. And when you go on offense, they got a quarterback that can run and throw the football. He can make all the throws. They have a running back that can get through the hole. He don't need much room. And when he gets through the hole, it's not just about a big play. This guy can go to the end zone and score a touchdown. And they have wide receivers that can catch the football, run fast, score touchdowns all over the place. Just a bunch of athletes on that offensive side of the football. And then on defense, they're not as big as you might think, but they're fast, they're athletic. I got a lot of respect for their secondary. They got four guys over there that can cover, that can go snatch the ball out of the air. They play man-to-man just as well as we play man-to-man, and we think we're pretty good at it. And then their front, they're athletic guys who can get off of blocks. They can get their hands on you. They can shed blocks, get to the quarterback, and free up lanes for those linebackers to run. So it'll be a fast, athletic team, and we'll have to be on our P's and Q's to be able to compete and beat this team.
It's a Bethune squad coming off a loss. They were on the road last weekend in Lincoln, Nebraska, taking on the Cornhuskers, and fell to Nebraska by that 45-9 count. They're 4-5 overall are the Wildcats of Bethune-Cookman, even up at 2-2 in conference play as they come to U Stadium on Saturday. A place we haven't won yet, Coach, at home. Talk to me about getting that monkey off your back. Winning on campus, how important is that to get that W for that reason on Saturday?
It's very important. I mean, we got two games left to play in front of this crowd. The crowd, everything has been in place. The crowd has come to every single football game. The fans have been coming. The administration has been supportive. But we got to go in our home stadium and win a football game. And that was the challenge to the team this week. They understand that. We got to go in that locker room and come out of that locker room and play with a sense of urgency and pride, as you were saying, that we have to win a football game on our home field. And we feel pretty good about it as we approach Bethune-Cookman.
And if we're going to get it done, Coach, as you know, you got to get it done in all three phases, offense, defense, and, of course, special teams. And speaking of special teams, you brought some company with you, Coach, to the restaurant tonight. Special teams coordinator is in the house. Assistant head coach for the Morgan State University Bears. There he is right there. Ron Dickerson Jr. is in the building. Coach Dickerson, we appreciate you taking some time to join us tonight.
Thank you very much. I'm very glad to be here.
Let's talk a little special teams. Let's talk special teams in general, but more specifically, the development of Morgan special teams. Obviously, an important phase of any football team and of any football game. Talk to me about the general special teams philosophy at Morgan State University.
You know, when we talk about special teams, it's actually right there with the offense, the defense. I mean, every coach from Coach Jones on down has a position on special teams. So when you come out and watch us practice, you have every coach doing something hands-on every time we do special teams. And we put a lot of effort into special teams. And so, you know, it's a big thing when we have our meetings. There's a lot of pride in special teams. And in that behalf, you know, it has shown that. I mean, in a lot of our categories, we're right there in the top three in the conference. And that goes to the young men buying in what we're doing, you know. And we know how big special teams are. We have a lot of young guys that are playing on special teams, which there's a lot of energy in that. You know, and that's something that we challenge every day, is that special teams is just as important as offense and defense.
Coach, did you do anything special, like, over the off season? We discussed it earlier in the year. Alex Rea had struggled the first couple of seasons. Then this year he's really kicked the ball well. He had one tough game. He's been kicking the ball into the end zone. Did you do anything special, any type of psychological coaching or anything to get Alex ready for this 2018 season?
You know, the NCAA allows you to have some quality time in the off season, and that's what we did. You know, I went out there personally. Coach Jones came out there, and I spent quality time with Rhea. And then, you know, we kind of took it from kicking field goals to something that he loves, is playing golf. So a lot of times you'll hear me say, follow through with the golf swing. We don't need to shank one, you know, into that capacity. Okay. And you could see the difference. And it went from the one-on-one time that we were able to have in the classroom, you know, again, by the NCAA, through the one-on-one time that we had on the field. And then the unique thing was Rhea started to compete in our early morning workouts. Rhea was one of the top guys in the front of the lines competing. So I think it was a pride thing and an ownership thing that Rhea took on. And, you know, one of the things that I do and I try to take pride is I get to know my young men that I coach. And so I spend a lot of quality time, and I think that also helped in convincing Rhea that he is a good player.
Coach, I want to talk about another aspect of special teams, and that is that return game. And my question is, how much of it is coachable and how much of it is instinct? Because when you're returning kicks, that's really something you can't necessarily practice at full speed all the time, because you want to have healthy players when the season starts. So when you're evaluating somebody's ability to be effective as a returner, punt or kick return, how much of that is instinctive? And how much is that something that you and your colleagues can coach up?
Well, you know, the blessing is that I actually did it in college, and I did it at the next level at the Kansas City Chiefs. And so a lot of that I've been able to, you know, work with the young men and talk to. And then that's actually where Coach Jones helps on the special teams. He works back there with the returners. But we do a lot of live stuff early in camp, because you cannot simulate, you know, but just by running down there and having guys, they have to actually know what it's going to be like on Saturday. And so early in camp, it was live. We were having guys run down there and make tackles. And, you know, we have a young guy back there in Jordan Cofield who's going to be a great one when he continues to get in the weight room and get stronger. But a lot of it is instinct. You know, you have to – and let me go back. A lot of it's confidence in the 11 guys on there. The 10 guys in front of Jordan have to believe in Jordan. And Jordan has to believe, or the returner has to believe in those 10 guys in front of them. And I think that, you know, that's where we are right now. We've had some big returns, haven't had that big one yet, but you can see that the glue is starting to pack together in that. And we do a lot of drills out there, coaches on them. I mean, every day they're catching. Every day they have guys running by them. Every day we're trying to do it as fast as we can to simulate what's going to happen on Saturday. And then you hope that the adrenaline comes in and everybody has confidence in each other and something positive comes out of that.
And, Coach, if you could, can you comment on probably, I guess it would be the most unsung component of not only special teams, maybe the unsung component of the whole team, maybe the most unsung person on campus, and that is the long snapper. It's somebody, an individual who really doesn't get a lot of attention unless they screw up. And then everybody knows who they are. Went out and recruited a young man who unfortunately suffered an injury in the first game against Towson. Talk about how he's coming along, and secondly, that position in general, the long snapper.
So we get excited. We lose a senior last year. We go out and get a very highly recruited young man. His first snap, he snaps the ball, and ironically, yes, he gets hurt, but let's talk about the positive. He also scored a touchdown on that play.
Yes, he did.
So, you know, he'll have a good and a bad memory in that situation. As soon as that happened, I looked at Coach and I said, oh, I got to have tryouts. So if you would have seen it, we almost had every guy on the team out there trying to long snap. I mean, from the kickers to the coaches, to everybody was out there. And we had to break it up. Instead of having one guy, we ended up having a short snapper for our field goals. And we were going through trying to figure it out and found out that one of actually the starting receivers, Corey Holmes, a graduate transfer, comes in. And he can actually do it and does it really well, to where actually NFL scouts have come in and said, wow, he's very impressive. And so, you know, we work at it all the time. So you're talking about Corey's playing a series or two, catching balls, taking hits, and then he's got to go right over there on fourth down and snap it back, run down the field and make a tackle. And he's done that. And, again, I think it goes back to if you listen to what Coach Jones says about we try to do the little things, about the characteristics, about how we're trying to build a young team and these young guys are really buying into what's going in. You know, and through life you have adversity. But when you can have a young man as Corey Holmes has done and a lot of other guys on special teams, our motto on special team is one play, one team, one heartbeat. And if I can get those guys to do that, if Coach Jones is we as the Morgan State Bears can get them guys just to play one play as hard as they can, success is going to happen. And we've been able to overcome, you know, that injury and been very successful. Tyreek Johnson is our short snapper. He's an offensive lineman we brought in from junior college, and he's doing a great job with the field goal, you know, and stuff like that. So you're right. It's a very unsung. We've, again, as I like to say, being from the South, threw some gumbo powder and everything in there, mixed some stuff up and done a really good job of having guys buy in and doing it.
And it's working. Before we kick you out of the restaurant, Coach, we can't let you go without telling folks about the history. You have it in your pedigree. It's in your DNA. And there may be some who may be unaware of your father, Ron Dickerson Sr., who, of course, played for the Dolphins. He was on that 1972 undefeated team, that historic team. And also, he was a history maker in terms of being the first African-American head coach at Temple Division 1A institution. Talk about your dad, his influence on you, and that history that runs through your veins.
I guess, was lucky. But, you know, I was blessed. When I was growing up, my dad was at Penn State. I went to State College, so I was also around Coach Paterno and that legendary team when they won the national championship. So I learned a lot about discipline. I learned a lot about the fundamentals. And unfortunately, like in this profession, my dad was really never around. So we haven't had the opportunity to spend a lot of time until I got older, because I went on and played college ball and then went on and was blessed to play in the NFL and then had my own family, you know, in that situation. But the things that I do like is when we go home for Thanksgiving, we catch up on, you know, Dad, what did you see the receivers do? What did you see the special teams? Or Dad, how do I need to get off of this pressure with the way the defense is playing? And it was really good, you know. We have a lot of good conversations in that, you know, there's a lot of knowledge in the family. There's a lot of history. And I appreciate, you know, my dad was lucky. He had been in the hospital and was able to come to this last game, and I got to spend a little bit of time with him and all that other stuff. So it's just a blessing to – you know, go through the process of having a legendary father like that and trying to, you know, not so much walk in his footsteps, but understand that really he paved the way for me and every other coach that's out there, you know. And so I just want to keep the name, especially being that I am junior, you know, going in the right direction. So it's a blessing and an honor to have him, you know, in that situation, to have him in the family, to learn as much as I can from him, for him to come up and talk to the staff like he's done before. It's just an honor, you know, in that situation.
Coach Dickerson, we really appreciate you joining us tonight, and thank you for that history lesson. I think it's something that we have to do. We got to remember our history and cherish that history, because there were those that came before us that paved the way.
Yes, sir.
Ron Dickerson, Jr., assistant head coach, Morgan State University, special teams coordinator. And, Coach, if you will, we're going to bring in one key member of that special teams unit. If you could pass along that headset for us. We're going to bring in a student-athlete here at Morgan State University. Coming to Morgan State for the very first time, this is his first year as a member of the Orange and the Blue, and he's been a key cog in Morgan State University, trying to make sure that our special teams act is together. Obviously, you have to get it done in all phases, offense, defense, and special teams.
My name is Nick O'Shea. I'm 5'9", 175, and I'm from West Bloomfield, Michigan. Now it's West Bloomfield High School.
Nick O'Shea is the freshman from Michigan. He comes on to attempt his first field goal as the Morgan Bears. It will come near side hats. It will be a 24-yard effort. Snap is away. Placement is down. The O'Shea 24-yard effort is true. Nick at night hits the field goal for the Orange and the Blue. Nick O'Shea with the 24-yard field goal.
Here he is. He's in the building. He's right there. He is number 46. That's Nick O'Shea all the way from Bloomfield, Michigan. Nick, we appreciate you joining us this evening.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Let's talk about the journey, man. What brought you halfway across the country from your native Michigan to Maryland, Baltimore, Maryland, and Morgan State University?
So I reached out to Coach Dickerson late my senior year after the season, and he introduced me to Coach Jones. They saw some film on me. Coach Jones actually traveled out to Detroit and visited me at my home. I liked what I had, what I met. I liked Coach Jones a lot, and I liked what he had to say about the program. So later that week, I came to Baltimore and visited Morgan. Just loved it. Couldn't find a better situation for myself.
How's the fit been so far? So good for you as a Morgan Bear? How's that orange and blue look on you, man?
I've enjoyed every part of it. I've been treated very well by the coaches, by the school. I couldn't ask for anything more.
Nick O'Shea, Morgan State University, place kicker, punter, really does it all. Nick, let's break it down piece by piece. Let's start on the place kicking side, particularly the field goal kicking, where there is no in-between. You either make it or you don't. There is no halfway. Psychologically, how does a kicker deal with that, either the height of success, the joy, or the agony of defeat with no in-between? How do you deal with that kick for kick, day for day, as you go about your daily business?
Well, the biggest thing for me is just, as a kicker, it's important to recognize when you made mistakes and what you need to get better on. You need to recognize the mistakes, watch film, get better, but you also need to recognize when it's time to move past those kicks and when it's time to just focus on the next one. And that's the biggest thing for me. When I go on the field, my biggest focus is just doing my job. I trust my line, my snapper, my holder, the situation the coaches put me in, and I just go in. My job is just to kick the ball straight, and that's what I try to do.
Walk me through the process of a kick coming up. You know the team's driving. They get within field goal range. You know it's just about showtime for you. Psychologically, what are you going through from that moment to the moment you kick it through the uprights?
I just try to zone everything out. I usually go to the other end of the field so I can face the uprights. Usually when I walk on the field, so I'll go to the opposite end of where the team is, where we're driving towards. And that way, there's no distractions. Usually the net's down there so I can warm up. And as I walk on the field, the uprights get bigger usually because you get closer to them. So it's just a little process for me that helps me focus up on the kick.
Do you know when you walk into a stadium on a given night that you have it that night or that you don't have it that night when you're going through your pregame rituals? Do you know, are you feeling it on a given day that either you do or you don't have it on that particular game day?
For me personally, I won't leave warm-ups until I feel like I have it. You know, I won't leave warm-ups until I'm confident that I can come through for my team on each opportunity I'm put into. So that's my job, is to have it when I'm called upon. So I think usually that I'm pretty confident when the game starts.
Yeah. Let's talk about the other aspects, because you are multidimensional. You also do some punting for Morgan State University. And I guess the same questions, your punting game, is that something that you feel when you walk into a stadium in terms of whether or not you have what it takes to do your job as the punter?
Yeah, for me, I think I'm naturally more of a field goal kicker, but with the situation we have, Alex is kicking well, and so it's his time, and I'll be ready when called upon, whether it's this year, next year, whenever that time comes. But right now my job is to punt for the team, and that's what my team needs me to do. So punting is one of those things for me where I have to get in the groove. You know, it's a feel-good thing. I got to focus on not swinging too hard. You know, I usually swing about 80% just to try to be as consistent as possible. That's what the team needs. That's what the team wants, to put the defense in the best position possible.
I wanted to ask you, I noticed a lot this season. Like back in the day, you would see the punter kick it straight kick. But I noticed now that you guys adjust or maybe run and then kick it on the line. Is there any particular reason for that?
So that's a rugby punt when we roll out. Generally, it's because if they're rushing through the middle, if they're rushing hard, we can get outside. And it gives me time to get my head up and see where the rush is coming from. And the biggest thing is that a ball rolling on the ground pretty hard is it makes the returner nervous usually. He's not willing to pick it up always, or definitely not willing. It doesn't give him space and time. So me rolling out creates time for my coverage team to get down there and stay on top of the returner, and it minimizes return yards.
Does it affect your distance, or you just looking to place the kick in a certain area?
So with rugby punts, the biggest thing is I just try to keep it as simple as possible. Roll out, and you just want it. You don't want it high, you want it low, about 15 yards above the ground, and you want it hard so it gets a good bounce. The bounce is the biggest thing with that. So I think you're always running in the right spot so your coverage team can get down there, but really the bounce. And another big thing for me is when it's windy, it's tough to do traditional punting because if it gets caught up in the wind and the wind's blowing at in your face, that's tough. And rugby punts, since it keeps low and gets a good bounce, it usually doesn't hurt you as bad.
That's the freshman. That's Nick O'Shea. Alex Rea, a senior. So moving forward, it's going to be your world, Nick, as Morgan State University place kicking and maybe punting going to be in your hands. Are you looking forward as you move forward in your Morgan career?
Oh, yeah. I'm excited. I'm thankful for every opportunity I've had this year, and I'm excited for every opportunity I'll get in the future.
Nick, going to look for you to do your thing on Saturday when the Bears take on the Wildcats. Thank you so very much for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
Coach Jones, just lastly, before we let you go, we talked about the importance of winning at home, but also, if you could, Coach, just the importance of finishing strong these last few ball games of the season.
Absolutely. Yeah. You're talking about an opportunity to play three more football games. You're talking about an opportunity to finish in the MEAC Conference 5-3, which will be something that hadn't happened in a while for Morgan State University. So we got an opportunity to still finish a special season in a special way. And we're pretty excited about that. We got two of those three football games at home in front of our home crowd, and then we get to go to Norfolk, Virginia and play that last game. So there's a lot of things out in front of us. There were a lot of goals that we had, and some of those goals are still out in front of us, in particular being on the positive side of winning in the MEAC Conference, because at the end of the day, we want to be competitive in our conference, and we have an opportunity to do that with these last three games.
That's the head man in charge. That is Ernest Jones, head football coach at Morgan State University. Want to thank Coach Jones. Want to thank Coach Dickerson. Also want to thank Nick O'Shea. Morgan State University football back to their business on Saturday. 4 o'clock will be kickoff time. We'll begin our broadcast with the Morgan Game Day Experience at 3 o'clock. The Bears looking to take down the Wildcats of Bethune-Cookman University. I'm Lamont Germany for Renard Styles. We're going to take a break. And when we get back, how about a little softball, y'all? We got Dom Young in the building. We got Coach Heinlein in the building. We're going to talk to the champs. They are the defending MEAC Northern Division champion Lady Bears softball squad. That's straight ahead as Morgan Sports Live continues. Back at you on a Thursday night. We call this thing Morgan Sports Live. We do it every Thursday night. Tonight we do it from Glory Days in Towson on Joppa Road. Talking a little Morgan State University sports. Just talked to the Morgan head coach, football coach, Ernest Jones. Again, the Bears back in business on Saturday afternoon. They're going to take on the Bethune-Cookman University Wildcats. That game's going to kick off at 4 o'clock. We will begin our coverage with the Morgan Game Day Experience. It gets jump-started at 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. The Bears looking to see if they can go ahead, run the table for the balance of the season, and try to get that first win at home. As we transition away from football, how about a little softball, y'all? As Morgan State University softball head coach is in the house, the Bears coming off a championship season, MEAC Northern Division champions, and looking to see what they can do with the upcoming 2019 season. Just finished their fall ball schedule, so it gave Coach Heinlein an opportunity to take a peek at the ladies who will be on the diamond come spring 2019. First, we want to thank Coach Larry Heinlein for spending his Thursday night with us. Appreciate it, Coach.
Oh, happy to be here, Lamont.
Let's talk about last year, man, before we talk about this year, because I'm still bathing in that championship feel from last year. All that winning y'all did, man, it hasn't rubbed off yet.
Hey, winning never gets old. You know what I mean? It's We had a 29-17 record last year. We had a lot of signature wins, that I would call. And we played very well most of the time. And it paid off. We won the MEAC North Championship for the first time in Morgan State history, I believe. And it was great. And we competed, I'd say, every game out. Right, Dom?
I agree.
Yeah. I'm here with Dom Young, who's our starting right fielder, first team all.
Oh, we're going to talk to the superstar.
I know
we're going to talk to the superstar. We're going to get you out the way first. Then we're going to concentrate on the superstar.
That's good. So I think last year, I think our signature way we play is we have good pitching, good defense, great base running, and we take those three and mold them together, and we're a tough force to compete against. Huh? And, You know, we beat teams from the CAA conference, the NEC, the Big East. I keep rattling them off, the MAC, the MAAC. I mean, we beat teams from all over, you know, all over the place in different conferences. So people know who Morgan State is now, softball-wise.
Well, there's no question, Coach, that you built this team and got it to the point where they reached championship timber. I know you were a little disappointed in the tournament when you went down, hopeful of maybe being able to run the table and bring that thing back home. In your view, what were the missing ingredients that you couldn't quite get over the hump in the MEAC tournament last year in Florida?
I think we're missing a bat. One more bat in the lineup would have helped us. We had the pitching. The first game of the tournament, we faced a young lady had like 320-some strikeouts for the year. She was a force in the circle. But we had pitching, too, so we went toe-to-toe with that, and we won 2-0. And then the next game, we had plenty of opportunities to beat FAMU, but we fell short. It was a windy day, you know, a fly ball that just landed just on the other side of the fence, and that was we came up short. And then in the loser's bracket, you have your difficulties. But another big bat or a big bat would have really helped us and got us to the next level.
Coach, locally, do you recruit locally? Are there any schools that are attractive to you as far as recruiting? And how many local talents do you have on your team?
That's a great question. We have actually two girls on the team from Eastern Tech, which is in Baltimore County. So that's the most local we have. We have a couple of girls from Virginia. Our goal is to absolutely recruit locally. I think it's good for the university. It's good for our team. But we are from all over. We have girls from Colorado, California, Arizona, Pennsylvania, New Jersey. I mean, it's a widespread net that we have. But we try to get local girls first. And Eastern Tech has a great softball program, and we were able to tap two of their best players. Our starting left fielder, Giselle Alvarez, is turned into a fine player, and we just got a junior college transfer. Sarah Hagee, who's also from there. And, you know, so if they're around town, we're looking at them.
Coach, just wrapped up fall ball. Had an opportunity to see some of the incoming young ladies. A lot of new faces on that roster, Coach. A lot of folks I didn't know, didn't recognize. So good to see some of the new talent there. Assess for me, how do you think fall ball went? What kind of guide is it for you as you move into the spring?
I think fall ball went pretty much as we had planned. We had a mixture of different types of teams. We had a junior college team. We had a couple of higher Division I and Division II teams. So I think we were able to see how we fared against different levels. So I could test the new players against different competition. And also, we're still jockeying for position in some of the returnees. Some of the young ladies are really stepping up to the plate, and no pun intended, they're stepping up and trying to win a spot. And so I think we had a lot of competition, good competition, and we were able to see that in our fall games.
Well, I tell you, one thing you did last year that I'm still smiling about is y'all beat Towson. And Morgan softball had never, ever beaten Towson before, and we've had some difficulty with Towson and other sports. So when you beat them not once but twice, it had me smiling.
Well, yeah, and sometimes the ball rolls your way and bounces your way, but I'd like to say that Towson was a great team. They had the best season they've ever had. They had 42 wins, I believe, and our team was able to go over at their place and beat them twice. And I believe that we played good ball and were able to compete at that level. And there was no luck involved there. We played good ball, and it showed. So we were really pleased. I mean, beating a team of that caliber and the players they had last year was phenomenal, and Dom will attest to that. It was great. Great feeling.
Let's take a look into the crystal ball. 2019, you mentioned that maybe a bat or two would have helped last year's team. Have you had a chance to add that bat or two as you look at what we're going to have in that dugout in 2019?
Yeah, we've got, I mentioned Sarah Hagee, who batted over 600 in junior college, made first team All-American, JUCO. Demisha Charles, who's an international player, plays for the Netherlands national team. We look for big things out of her. So we've got some Amy Pacheco, who's from Arizona. I'm going to forget somebody, Coach. Sir. I'm on the spot here, but we've got a number of people who are battling for a starting position who can help us. And I just named three newcomers, and we have a couple more. Right, Dom?
Yes.
Coach, let's talk about the schedule for 2019. Obviously, you have your MEAC opponents. So I guess the question is more outside of the MEAC, who are some of the people that you're going to be competing against once the spring season starts?
Well, I'm excited about us facing Notre Dame in Florida. Notre Dame's a top-flight softball school, as they are in most sports. So that's like we marked that down. We got Fordham on the agenda. Fordham has been to the NCAA tournament the last five years in a row. University of Alabama, Birmingham, which has got a really nice softball program. These are, high 30-plus win teams. So we have a mixture of we have teams that are at the higher levels, middle levels. Cornell is coming down to play us here, and so I'm really liking our schedule. I think it's going to test us, and I think we're going to do well.
Well, Coach, I'm looking forward to it. Can't wait to get it jump started in 2019. Looking for even bigger or better things from the Lady Bears.
I'm with you.
We want to go ahead and talk to a student athlete. You already brought her in. You started interviewing her before I did, but I'll go ahead and finish up.
Sorry about that, Mom.
Young lady that is in her senior year, so this is the last rodeo. And the reason I love her game so much is because her parents bring food to every game. That's the main thing. And, I'm talking about Dom Young, who is in her senior season, the outfielder, the leadoff hitter for the Lady Bear softball squad. And I have to tell you, Dom, it was an out-of-body experience last year when I saw you get thrown out trying to steal. Because whenever you're still on the base, you never get thrown out. You got thrown out. I couldn't believe it. I was like, what happened? They threw out my girl?
No, it's probably safe. We just have terrible umpires in the
MEAC,
so it's okay.
I'm feeling you. Let's talk about the journey. What even brought you to Morgan State University to begin with?
Kind of a funny story, actually. So I'm one of the student athletes from New Jersey, and I was kind of like half committed to this really small D2 school because it was kind of just last-minute decision. And as I'm like thinking, like, maybe if I just send out my video one more time at some other schools on there, I'll get a reply. So sent out a video to Coach Myron Vanderpool at Morgan State, and I hadn't even closed my computer yet, and I got an email back. And as I'm reading the email, I'm getting a phone call, and I answer, and it goes, hey, it's Coach Larry from Morgan State. And I'm like, who? I hadn't even looked it all the way up yet, so I didn't know who it was. And that was a Wednesday. And I visited on a Friday and committed on that Saturday. So it was kind of like an immediate response when I got there that I knew that's where I wanted to be. One of the biggest buildings there, Holmes Hall, looked just like my high school. And all of the girls were immediate family. So that's how I knew that I wanted to be at Morgan State.
Well, you made it a family affair. As I mentioned, your parents are at every game and they do bring food. But also your younger sister, she is also a Lady Bear. Talk about how important it was for you when Jolly joined you in that outfield.
So when my sister was looking at schools and going around being recruited, like in the back of my mind, I always wanted her to go to Morgan, but I didn't want to push it because I didn't want to seem like I was picking for her and being a bossy older sister. So I would just like kind of hint at it every once in a while. And then finally she was like, I'm just going to go to Morgan State. That sounds good. And I'm so excited. So then being able to play next to her again, because I hadn't gotten to play with her in 2 years, was the most amazing experience. And everyone always asks, like, do you guys fight in the outfield? And I'm like, only when we're trying to call each other off a ball. That's just about it. If a ball goes between us, we kind of look at each other like, yikes, coach is going to yell at us for that one. But there's never really any hostility or bickering in right and center.
Of course, this being your senior year, I'm wondering if you can contrast for me the difference between you as an individual as a freshman and the Dom that's speaking to me tonight, and also the difference in the team that you first joined as a freshman and that team as you see it around you now in your senior year.
So individually as a freshman, I think I would continually try to shy away from a leadership role it wasn't going to happen. There was no way I was going to be able to shy away from it. The fact that I was, playing every day and I was a pillar in the starting lineup, you're automatically a leader, whether you want to be or not. So I think the Dom speaking to you now has completely developed as that leader and realized that in order to be a leader, sometimes you lead by example, sometimes you lead by words, and you kind of have to have a combination of both to have a successful team. And on the topic of the team, I think freshman year was, and obviously I wasn't there before that, but freshman year was, that team was the beginning of the winning attitude. That team knew that we could win way more games than we were winning at the beginning of the year. And I think that transferred so well that now there's games that we don't go into cocky, but we go in expecting to win. Mm-hmm. Like, we went into those 2000 games expecting to win. We weren't hoping to win. We weren't hoping that they dropped one or two balls that helped us out. We went in knowing that we were going to be the better team that day.
Let me just say this. There are some people, and I think they're missing the boat. For them, softball is kind of an off-the-radar sport. You know, they're going to be at all the basketball games. They're going to be at all the football games. But somehow they don't – well, the softball, maybe I get there, maybe I won't. I don't miss a game. You guys are exciting to watch play. You, Dom, in particular, are exciting to watch play. You have an entire game. You do it with the bat. You do it with your glove. You do it around the bases. You do it with your leadership. It is a total game. You're worth the price of admission, even though admission is free.
You
would be worth the price of admission if they were charging, because it is an exciting product to watch. In this, your senior year, what is your feel about this roster around you? What kind of damage you think this team can do when spring rolls around?
Looking at how our defense practices so quickly, so crisp, and looking at the, like Coach Hilary had mentioned, the big bats that we have coming in, the people that are going to put that ball all the way to the fence. So the faster people like me that like to hit singles can just run around and
score for them. I've seen you hit home runs
now. Once in a while.
Like, I've seen you hit the ball
deep. When the wind's blowing really hard, I can. But having those student athletes around me and my teammates around me, I can see that now we have an offensive spark and a defensive spark. Our defense has always been extremely solid since I've been here. But offense has always been just like a little something missing, a little bit of timely hitting that we needed. So seeing the team that we have in the fall winning games easily and under no stress and no pressure, I see no reason that we're not MEAC Northern Division champs again.
Of course, Morgan State University Lady Bears won the MEAC North in 2018 and looking to see if they can even top that in 2019. It's a team that really coalesced last year and is looking like they can raise the bar and, I guess, sustain it. Now, again, this is going to be your senior year, Dom. As you look upon the underclassmen behind you, what's your crystal ball look at the future of Morgan State softball?
I feel like when I was a senior in high school, and some of the times when I would look into that crystal ball about the future, I would be nervous. I'm like, oh, I don't know how that's going to go. But here, there's none of that there. There's so many developing underclassmen that are already showing their leadership roles and taking charge on the field that there's no reason that there's any beats skipped once my grade graduates. My grade just have a lot of starters on the field at one time. I believe it's like 6 out of 9 at some points. But there's so many people that are underneath of us or next to us that play either in rotations that there's no reason that they don't continue to be the champs every year after we leave.
Let's talk about Dom. Off the diamond, without a bat in her hand, without a glove in her hand, what kind of person is she? What kind of pursuits beyond softball are your goals?
Well, right now I'm actually at my internship at Barton Mallow, which is a construction engineering firm, and they're actually building the new Montebello that's going to be at Morgan State's campus. So that's basically where I am every day when I'm not at softball, and I'll be working there full-time once I graduate. So that's also been kind of in that crystal ball I'm looking at, as well as this year's softball. So,
well, let me say this. Anybody who has spent her freshman year, her sophomore year, and her junior year and still hasn't seen Dom Young play, do yourself a favor. Go online, look up that Morgan State softball schedule. They're going to have enough games on the home front right across the street at Lois T. Murray Field. Do yourself a favor. Come on over and see these ladies get down, because they're serious. They play some, this ain't no fun and games. They take it serious, and the product they put on the field is exciting to watch.
I tell you, Lamont, you had me a little bit excited. I'm had to check them out a couple times.
They are special to watch, and again, they were on the championship level last year, and they're looking to be bigger and better in 2019. Dom, thank you so very much
for
spending your night with us on this Thursday, and Coach, thank you as well. Good luck to you and your ladies. Oh, no problem whatsoever. Morgan State University softball 2019, the Lady Bears wrapped up fall ball, and they're looking forward to their softball season in the spring, and again coming off a championship year and hoping to duplicate the deed once spring 2019 arrives, and it won't be long. before spring 2019 is here again. Our thanks to the head coach, Larry Heinlein, and our thanks to the leadoff hitter and right fielder, Dom Young. Stubbs, we got a football game in front of us on Saturday, man, and we're hoping the Morgan State University Bears can do a little damage. As we mentioned in the show, they have not won at home. I think it's time to end that. It's time to go get Bethune on Saturday afternoon.
Oh, well, like we said at the top of the show, that's one important thing to play for. They definitely want to win both home games, actually, that's left on the schedule. Only two wins coming on the road so far, so they get a lot of credit for that. Tough to win football games on the road. They also lost another tough football game on the road. Kind of fell flat last Saturday, so I'm sure the Bears cannot wait, chomping at the bit, to get back out there on the football field on Saturday.
Yeah, you want to get that funk off you from that Florida A&M visit to Tallahassee. That didn't end well for Morgan State, so you're hopeful of being able to get it done against a Wildcat squad that's given us some problems the last few years. That's a team we haven't really been able to handle, especially their offense. We haven't been able to slow them down in recent seasons. They put up 30 or 40 points on us year in and year out, and so Morgan State's going to have to try to figure out a way to slow down a Bethune-Cookman team that, again, looks to have their handle on things offensively.
Well, it's been tough to score in the Morgan football team. They gave up 38 points a week ago, but only seven in the second half of that football game. It's a proud defensive unit for Morgan. I'm sure they're going to make some adjustments, and I expect to see the old Morgan football team from a couple of weeks ago, very competitive, and probably maybe surprising some people on Saturday. They need this win, and they need it in the worst kind of way.
We've been here before, Stubbs, the last few games of the year, and the question is, what kind of fire, what kind of commitment are you going to get from the student-athletes on the back end of the season? And we've seen some times where we've seen plenty of fire and commitment on the back end, and then, quite frankly, there's been some times when we haven't seen that. I think it's going to be important for this team that does have the potential, as we saw in Greensboro about a month and a half ago, to beat anybody, but they have to show it consistently. It has to be week in and week out.
Well, Coach Jones said they practiced well this week. I expect them to come out. I think it's a proud group of guys. We travel with them, Lamont, and I don't think they're going to quit on the season, and I don't think they're going to quit on Coach Jones in 2018.
Football on Saturday, and guess what, Stubbs? Won't be long before they're going to be dribbling that basketball inside of Hill Fieldhouse. The ladies had a scrimmage last week. They're going to have two home games back-to-back, Tuesday and Wednesday night. At Hillfield House. The men will be home on the 15th of November. So I don't know if you're ready for basketball, but basketball's ready for you, man. Right around the corner.
Hey, I'm ready, but, you know, the last game we did was at Hampton, man. That was a spectacle within itself.
Yeah, it was.
The coach took the whole team off the field, and for about a half an hour, 40 minutes or so, we were the only people from Morgan there. And it was a heck of an experience as we bid farewell to the Hampton University last winter.
Yeah, Hampton leaving the MEAC. They decided to go elsewhere. Morgan State's going to open up their basketball season on the men's side up in Philadelphia. They take on the defending champs. They're taking on Villanova. So I guess Coach Bowes isn't ducking anybody as he's going to open up his season against the champions, against Nova. And then shortly thereafter, they'll be at home on the 15th against Lincoln University of Pennsylvania.
And it's good to get some early home contests, you know, get some home games in there. They spend a whole lot of time on the road during the winter, you know, during the start of the new year. So to get some home games in there, going to be good for the fans, good for us to get our feet wet again on the broadcast side.
And I'll tell you what, man, we aren't going to recognize these players because there's been a complete turnover in really both teams. The men and the women's roster has had a complete turnover. Some of the people we're used to on both rosters have moved on. Tywan Kinley and Phil Carr both signed professional contracts and with the NBA and during the course of the summer with the Wizards and with the Knicks. And on the ladies' side, the main core of that ladies' basketball team the last few years, and Alexis Spears and B.B. Farrar, and Takaira, and they've moved on as well. So a lot of the players on both the men and the women's side are going to be the new kids on the block. So a lot of brand new faces for Morgan basketball, both the women and the men.
Oh, well, new faces, Lamont, so maybe some new results, maybe some better results, maybe some MEAC championships down the line. Who knows?
Well, that's the hope. This is all about winning championships. And again, the tennis team set the tone. They won the MEAC title last year. As we mentioned, the Lady Bears softball team won the MEAC Northern Division Championship. So it's about elevating that entire athletic department to championship timber. We are just about set to wrap this thing up. Before we do so, I want to thank some folks. I want to thank back at the mothership at the radio station, Andre Melton on the ones and twos. We appreciate his assistance. Our on-site producer, the Big A, is in the building. Alex, thank you very much, man, for hanging in there and making it happen. I want to thank our guests from earlier in the show, head football coach Ernest Jones and his assistant, Ron Dickerson, Jr., and Morgan State University place kicker and punter Nick O'Shea. I want to thank him for joining us tonight. And we got a little visit from the softball team. Head to head coach Larry Heinlein in the house. Thank Campman. We thank Dom Young, the Morgan State University senior outfield, for joining us tonight as well. And I want to thank my boy, Renard Stubbs. I appreciate it. We got to go on and get out of here. LaDawn is standing by. She's going to go ahead and steer the ship into the night. But we're going to close. We will remind you, we'll be back at you 1 week from today, next Thursday night, same place, same time, coming at you from Glory Days on Joppa Road. You have an open invitation to come on and check us out. And we want to thank the Glory Days crew. I'm judging by Renard's clean plate that the cuisine met your satisfaction.
Yeah, pretty good, man.
Okay,
because
you
bad.
Was chomping down, man.
Not
so,
bad, man. I'm
okay.
a little hungry today.
I think you went ahead and handled that, and I ain't mad at you. We're going to close this thing out, though. I'm Lamont Germany for Renard Stubbs. You've been listening to Morgan Sports Live.